So I'm going to talk to you today again about the reading that we heard from the book of the prophet Amos. A little harsh, right? Some of you will have heard of Henry Nouwen. We're going to study one of his books in the fall. But anyway, Nouwen he's deceased now, but he's a very famous guy. He was a Roman Catholic priest and kind of a very central figure in for those of us who study pastoral care, really, really important, wrote some really important books. Started off by teaching at Harvard University. So I guess he knew what he was doing. But ended up his life at a L'Arche community. I don't know if you know about the L'Arche communities. Yeah. Ended up at a L'Arche community, kind of living quite anonymously. Yeah. And he actually had some connections out here as well at Kingsfold Retreat Center. People know where that is. He had some pretty strong relationships as well, but started off this very, very kind of, you know, elite kind of guy, and ended up living this very kind of simple life in community where people who are at various places in development live together in a very loving kind of way. So anyway, but he started off, one of the first books he ever wrote, and some of you may know this book is With Open Hands. Do people know that book? Great little book. It's good. I like it because lots of pictures in it, you know. And so it starts, the image of With Open Hands is of our stance towards God. In other words, that our hands are not closed in relationship to him. Our hands are open, so we're able to receive his presence and his kindness with trust and intimacy. So the contrast is hands which are closed and hands which are open. So he begins the book by telling a story. I don't know if he was the chaplain involved in this or it was someone else, but this is a true story. So an older woman is brought into an emergency ward, She's very distraught and nobody can figure out what's wrong with her. She's very angry, very upset. They're trying to figure out what it is. But the one thing they notice is that one of her hands is just clenched in a fist like this, and she will not let go. And this seems to be related somehow to her highly distracted state. So eventually, I think it was maybe the chaplain convinced her to open up her hand, because obviously whatever was in there was very important and it was causing distress to her. He opened it up and it was a very small coin, like a penny or something like that. And so what Nouwen is suggesting is this is kind of what we do sometimes. We come before God we want to have open hands towards God, but sometimes we need to look at ourselves and say, is there part of me which has a hand which is clenched? Is there something that I'm holding on to that makes it difficult, make it difficult for God to give to me what he wants to give to me, his grace and his kindness? So the reason I think of this is if anyone, all of us kind of wonder about the Old Testament sometimes, you go, oh man, that's harsh. Today would be the day you're going, yeah, there you go. That proves it right there. That's pretty harsh. And specifically the harsh part of it is this, as you remember from last week, Amos is a farmer from the southern kingdom who is not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, he says, who has been seized by God, and not in a quiet way. He said, God came to him like the roar of a lion and has ordered him to go to the northern kingdom, which separated a long time ago. Very prosperous. It's set up its own state cult. They still worship the God of Israel, but now they don't go to the temple. They have these statues of golden calves at certain shrines that they go and worship. And he's gone north because God has given him a message, which you heard, which is that you keeping the covenant is not just about keeping the Sabbath. As it says, keeping the covenant is also about justice for the poor. Very important part of the Old Testament. As you know, these bonds between us our bonds of loyalty, obligation, and especially, sometimes people say, a preferential option for the poor. Justice is especially justice for the poor. And so Amos has gone north and to this very prosperous place. And he said, it may not look like it now, but your entire society is about to collapse in on itself because of this. And he says, even nature will turn against you in the form of a famine. But even worse than that, God, you will become hungry, not just for food and not just for drink. You'll become hungry to hear the word of God. And you will go to the north and you will not find it. You will go to the south, you will not find it. You will go to the east and you will not find it. You will go to the west. In fact, you will go throughout the entire kingdom of northern Israel and you will not find it. And the image that's in the Hebrew, the image that is used of traveling is not just they're walking around. It's kind of like they're stumbling, you know, like they're drunken or they're exhausted from traveling to place to place. And so you think to yourself, well, so much for God's mercy. People are looking for God's word, and God has said to them, yeah, you're not getting that. Enough of you guys. Until you notice one thing, and it's this. They'll go to the north of their kingdom. They'll go to the south of their kingdom. They'll go to the east of their kingdom. They'll go to the west of their kingdom. Where is the one place that they won't go? The one place they won't go is to the place where God promised that he would invariably reveal himself and teach his word to his people. And that is the temple in Jerusalem. I don't know, it reminds me of growing up in a small town in southern Manitoba. I lived in a town called Killarney, and next door was a town called Boisevain, and never the twain shall meet. You know, it was like corner gas, right? Everybody spit every time you see the tower. It was that kind of like hatred, except in this case, there's a lot more to it because there's a real bitterness towards the south. They've rejected that kingdom. They've rejected that temple. They've set up their own state religion, which involves the worshiping of golden calves. And they have said, Lord, we will do anything for you. Anything you ask to hear your word, except give up the golden calf. We just love that golden calf. That golden calf is so great. I was telling you last week about quitting smoking. It's kind of like that for me. I'll do anything for you except quit smoking. The Lord says, okay, well, that's the very thing you need to do. It's different with everybody's. Well, I'll do anything for you except give up this golden calf. And so it's kind of like their hand, using Henry Nouwen's image, it's kind of like their hand is clenching something that stops them from receiving. And the thing that they're clenching is whatever the bitterness and the resentment and the hatred that stops them from going to the one place that they can actually experience and God's presence and hear God's word, they will not open their hand. They're clenching their own self-made religion and refuse to receive it. So I don't know if that makes sense to any of you in your life in any way, if you've ever done that, if you ever clenched on to something that's stopping you, God is saying to you, you've got to let go of that. You've got to let go of that. You've got to let go of that. And you say to the Lord, I'll do anything except for that, because this thing, I'm pretty attached to this. Whatever it is, it could be something good, or it could be, again, something like, you know, that kind of same kind of anger, resentment, or whatever. So it turns out Amos is right. The northern kingdom is destroyed. It is, the Assyrians come in, it's decimated. The religious sites are destroyed. Nothing is left. It is a ruin. Except if you read a little further on in Second Chronicles, this is one of my very favorite pieces of, I don't know if you're allowed, are you allowed to have favorite parts of the Bible? I don't know. If you are, this is one of my very favorite parts of the Bible. It's called Hezekiah's Feast. It's in Passover, rather, Hezekiah's Passover. It's in Second Chronicles, right? So Hezekiah, northern kingdom was gone. Hezekiah is the king of Jerusalem, of southern Judah. He's a godly king. There's a kind of a restoration of faith in God during his reign. And he looks to the north, where that kingdom used to be. And he sees what John Calvin famously calls a glorious ruin. That is a ruin, but he sees a remnant of God's people. You kind of look up there and you're kind of going, who's an Israelite and who was brought in by the Assyrians? Kind of hard to tell. And he wants to put on this great Passover of reconciliation, this great feast, such as there has never been before. And he wants to unite the two kingdoms, or the former kingdom together with his kingdom, and come into one great Passover feast. And people say to him, Hezekiah, those northerners, they're ritually unclean. They are not prepared to celebrate the Passover. They have not followed the commandments that allow them to do so. And Hezekiah says, in this one case, God is prepared to make an exception. And so the northerners come, and it's Hezekiah's great Passover, which tells us this, I think, that even if we do things that alienate us from God, we hold on to things which are destructive to us, even to the state of ruination to some extent, God never completely abandons us and is waiting for the opportunity. What did Paul say? Christ died for his enemies. Christ died for the ungodly, and waiting for the moment to rescue us from our own little idols we have in our hands, which may have caused destruction, and invite us back in the glorious ruins that we are. So we can think about that little example of Henry Nouwen. Are there things we hold on? Yeah, all of us probably. I don't know, unless I'm unique. Things we hold on to, and when we come before the Lord and say, "Well, you know, I'd like to give you everything except for this," and the Lord saying to us, "Man, you have no idea what would happen if you just opened your hand and received the gift that I have to offer you." So just think about that for a minute. Is there anything like that? And then let's pray. Lord, we thank you for sending us Jesus to come and search for us and find us. We thank you that when you were far away from us, you did not forget us. We thank you that when we hold on to things, that eventually we even lose our power to open up our hands and let go of, that you, Lord, and your love and your grace and your strength gently open our hands. Open our hands, Lord. Open our hands continually to receive the grace that you desire for us. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.